Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the red heifer and prophecy. If you wonder what we're talking about the red heifer and prophecy, turn in your Bibles to, if you're not driving, to Numbers chapter 19, verse 1 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, with wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. And ye shall give unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring for her forth without the camp, that is outside the camp, and one shall slay her before the face, his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of the blood, which is with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And it goes further, talking about the heifer shall be burned and in the sight of the people, and her skin and her flesh and her blood with the dung shall all be burned. And the priest shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterwards he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth her, talking about the cow, the heifer, shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them upon without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. It shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger and the sojourner along them for a statute forever. He that touches the dead body, and it goes on to talk about the qualifications, the disqualifications, and what must be done. Long and short of it is, ladies and gentlemen, according to Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 22, it is following what is called the law of Moses. It is following the Jewish priest, and the fact that a red heifer was required in order to cleanse the temple, in order to cleanse the priest, in order to be clean and to purify and to be clean from sin. In other words, it was the sacrifice of the red heifer and to be burned, and the ashes to be placed in the water then to be sprinkled in the front of the congregation of Israel and the front of the temple, and then, ladies and gentlemen, to be washing of the priest so that he'd be considered clean to be able to go before the people for the sacrifice of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the red heifer rule, guideline, law that is found in Numbers 19, the Orthodox priest today, Jewish Orthodox priest, believe that they must reinstate the ashes of the red heifer in order to have the reinstitution of the temple services. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. the Temple Mount movement in Israel, the group that's been working for years and years, probably some 20 plus years now, on working toward having a new temple in Jerusalem. They already have the priestly garments made. They already have fabricated and made the temple vessels, gold and silver vessels. They already have, ladies and gentlemen, the shofars that are ready to be blown. They have already trained multitudes of Jewish young men to be the priest in the new temple. Ladies and gentlemen, the key to it all, the Orthodox Jews in the Temple Mount movement in Israel, they already have the set of plans and specifications called the blueprints to build a new temple. They have stated that the new temple can be built within 24 months maximum. They have the plans, the specifications, the priest garments, the temple utensils, trained priests to carry out the task, the temple priest robes, all prepared and ready. They just need a temple. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just a little footnote to that statement. A number of people have postulated the fact that they could go ahead and build the temple now, but they cannot build the temple unless it's on the foundation where the previous temples were. And today, that's the Dome of the Rock. It is the Islamic, house of worship. It is the Islamic place that is there. It's called the Dome of the Rock. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't build God's house, God's building. The priest, Temple Mount movement priest and others say that there's an impossibility, though they have postulated down through the years, the possibility of building a temple next to the Dome of the Rock. That won't happen. I believe, my most humble opinion, that there's coming a day when a Scud missile out of Iran will be off course. It will hit the Dome of the Rock and clean the Temple Mount and allow the escalation of the carrying out of the building, the rebuilding of the temple, which will be considered the third temple in Israel. It will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount. And I believe as we watch what is happening in Iran, with Sleepy Joe Biden and wanting to reinstate the nuclear agreement with Iran, Israel has already made the dogmatic statement that if that agreement is ratified between the U.S. and Iran, that Israel, will go against Iran's nuclear facilities and wipe them out. I believe we're going to see that take place. I believe we're going to see the escalation of the movement that we're finding prophetically, eschatologically, and the Word of God. According to Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 45, the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. In fact, it's a fascinating study at your leisure. Do so, because it gives in Ezekiel 40 through 45 the exact total measurements, what I would call the architectural blueprints that God gives for the detail, right down to the finite details of rebuilding the temple. Yet you have those that will claim today, some loose likes, lost liberals, theologically speaking, some of the false teachers, false prophets that are on the scene that deny the fact that a third temple needs to be rebuilt. But according to God's word, it shall be. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, according to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and following, the Lord Jesus returns, he will land, I'm using the term, he will land on the Mount of Olives. When his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the scripture says, the mountain will cleave, that is, be split. A great valley would be formed from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley into the Eastern Gate. Today, since about the 6th century, the Eastern Gate's been walled up. Outside of the Eastern Gate, there's an Islamic cemetery to make sure that no Jewish person will traverse that area. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes, that's all going to be wiped out. A valley will be formed across the Kidron Valley outside of the Eastern Gate, around the outside wall of Jerusalem. That valley will be opened. Jesus Christ will enter into the Eastern Gate. He will be seated on his throne, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, that will be the rebuilt temple that will ultimately be the seat, the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ for the 1,000 years. So according to Ezekiel 40 through 45, there will be a rebuilt temple. And according to the belief of the Jewish priests, listen very carefully, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, has already come. We, as Christians, are looking forward to his second coming. Under Orthodox Judaism, Messiah is yet to come. It is the belief of Orthodox Judaism that Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, cannot return until the temple is rebuilt. And so, therefore, they're wanting to rebuild the temple. They cannot have sacrificial services until there's a red heifer. And the red heifers have arrived from Texas to Jerusalem. And so I believe we're seeing the puzzle come into play, the puzzle coming into focus, where the stage is being set. The players, the actors are being put on the stage. The stage is set. The curtains are ready to be drawn. When the rapture of the church takes place, the curtains will be open. The man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. He'll rule and reign for 7 years in the tribulation. That Jesus Christ will return. He will rule and reign from his throne in the new temple that shall be rebuilt. I believe Greg's on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
It's kind of an exciting time to live, and I know there are folks that are listening right now that they don't know the Lord and they don't know the things that you're talking about. This doesn't make any rational sense to them. But since we've just seen 2.5 years of genuine plague wrap the planet, we're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing one thing after another. I mean, the economic outlook is so grim. People are petrified. They're not just running away from the market. They're just petrified at what's going to happen next. And of course, we left our southern border open for the past 2.5 years, 2 years, and we've seen 3, 4, 5 million folks illegally come in, and who knows how many of those are criminals or terrorists. They've come from over 100 different countries. And you go, man, all this stuff seems scary. Are we going to have another 9/11 level event? Vladimir Putin is threatening nuclear war. Now, this is the first time in decades that we've heard such saber rattling. And for the lost world, that has to make you tremble. For the believer, though, that knows what the Scripture has to say, it's exciting because you realize we're right on the cusp, perhaps, of the Lord's return.
Yes. And, in fact, Greg, you used the word exciting. I'm looking at a headline. It says, Texas red heifers arrive, stirs prophetic excitement in all of Israel. Dateline Jerusalem. It is quite a sight to see a group of cattle arriving at Israel's busy Ben-Gurion airport. A recently delivered delivery of 5 red heifers from Texas to Israel is causing quite a stir. Talking is growing that their arrival is prophetic and a prerequisite to the return of the Messiah. Some rabbis believe that the ashes of the red heifer are necessary for the purifying of the priest to be able to serve in the future temple. The article further states, the red heifers were discovered and brought to Israel with the help of the Building of Israel organization and its team leader. Further, the article says, the ashes of the red heifer will be used to purify the water from Gihon, that's G-I-H-O-N, spring in the city of David. Just a few ashes would purify thousands of gallons of water. They believe that this could be the step toward the building of the third temple in Jerusalem. Others are saying that the rebuilding could be close at hand, end quote. Greg, you're exactly right when it comes down to the eschatological prophetic text in the Scripture. Multitudes do not know what we're talking about. Multitudes are perhaps sitting right now in a sense of consternation. What's the red heifer got to do with prophecy? And we're watching as we see this, Greg, where the excitement is building in Jerusalem among the Orthodox Jewish priests, where they realize that this is on the fast track, and they're looking forward to the coming of the Messiah the first time, and they believe that he cannot come until they have a temple. They cannot have a temple until they have everything ready for the sacrificial services. How, in your view, authentic Would this be authentic? Do you think this is just a blip on the radar? Do you believe that we should get excited about it as Christians? What is your view of it, and how should our listeners respond to it? You started touching on it a moment ago. Continue that thought.
There are some folks that have been planning this day for many decades. You know, obviously, the reinstatement of Israel as a nation, that was a first time in history event for a nation to go out of existence for 2,000 years and come back into existence. And there have been quite a few folks since that day that have been looking forward to the rebuilding of the temple because they know that that's prerequisite. You know, they're still looking for the first Messiah, and we realize he's going to return very soon. But to realize for decades now, they've been looking for a perfect, without blemish, spotless, without blemish, red heifer. And have a rancher on the other side of the globe in Texas, in the United States, that says, hey, we got five of them that meet the description. They've been looking for decades, folks. And this rancher, he has enough sense about him and enough biblical knowledge about him. He goes, no, fellas, don't even ear tag those jokers, because you punch the ears, then they have a blemish. They can't have a blemish. Don't touch them. Take care of them. Realize, folks, this is not a coincidence. Now, we don't know that this will play out and all five of these jokers or even one of these jokers will qualify when the day comes. But to realize that this is on the minds and this is part of the planning, this is part of the desire, that has to be. I mean, because from a biblical eschatological view, that temple is going to be in place, and there will be sacrifice taking place at the midpoint of the tribulation where the Antichrist yes. comes in and causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So guess what?
Right.
That sacrifice has to be taking place. We're looking forward to that day.
Absolutely. Greg, again, I'm looking and I'm excited about some of the headlines. Here's a headline that says, the red heifers arrive in Israel. Is it a signal for the third temple and the end times? Question mark. The article then states in brief, the delivery of five red heifers to Israel has sparked a worldwide debate about its significance in biblical prophecy, particularly among Christians who believe a third temple will be rebuilt during the end times. The five heifers arrived in Israel from Texas last week. They're being approved by the Jewish rabbis as red in color, unblemished. Two requirements for the Mosaic law and the sacrificial system, according to Numbers 19. Here's the point. Many Christians believe a third temple will be built in Jerusalem during the end times. It goes further to say in this article, the cows have been inspected by the rabbis and found to be red and thus far unblemished. In order for someone to follow the Mosaic law, become ritually pure, the ashes of the red heifer are required, according to the book of Numbers. And it goes on to state, here's the point. It is incredible that several red heifers have been brought to Israel, could be potentially used in the reinstatement of the temple services in the near future. At the same time, as believers in the Bible and God's prophetic plan of for Jerusalem, we first have to care about and advocate for the place where God has chosen to place his name and where he said his house would one day be restored as a house of prayer for all nations. That's found in Isaiah 56. Verse 7 says, then the Orthodox Jewish community in Israel viewed the heifers as one more step in the Jewish journey to restore the temple services in Jerusalem. And Greg, I believe that we're watching the prophetic hand of God. We talk about the clock of God, eschatologically speaking. It's Dr. Adrian Rogers a number of years ago that said, the hour hand is Israel. The minute hand is Jerusalem. If we want to know what God is doing eschatologically, look at Jerusalem, and I believe, look at Israel and Jerusalem in particular, and I believe we're seeing the prophetic hand of God coming about. And as you said, we don't know if any one of these five will meet the standard. They've got to do the investigation and the review and the inspection for the next year. But it says to me that as Christians, we need to be ready. It says to me that as a child of God, we need to look up and realize our redemption is drawing near.
Keeping your eyes on Israel, and you point that out. My brain, before you said the words, I'm I'm thinking, keep your eyes on Israel. You have a lot of believers today will look at the occupants of Israel today and question what God's role, what their role is, and the timetable we see pouring out before us. And many will say, well, 90% of those folks are either agnostic or atheist or whatever. I have news for you. They're still of the line of Jacob. And these folks, there's still a plan. We will see as they, will not, at least believers won't be here to watch it, I believe. But the scripture says that early in that tribulation, there will be 12,000 from each of the tribes that will come to know Christ. Their eyes will be open, 12,000 virgin males from each tribe. That means those tribes are still existent in the end. And you see the entire tribulation time, there's so much focus on Israel, you can't help but to look at Israel as that timepiece. As you see the activities, the tremblings, the goings on that touch Israel. If the world's super hyper concerned about Israel, that's happened over and over and over. Of course, we saw that the last presidency with the Abraham Accords. All of a sudden, there's a major focus on Israel. I began to get excited. It's not because there's some big country, some massive country, some internationally affluent country, but because those are God's people. When I say God's people, all of the Old Testament was around keeping Israel pure, and in the end, God's focus will turn to Israel yet again, and we're seeing that taking place even today.
Greg, you state that, and my mind goes back to May 15, 1948, when Ezekiel chapter 37 was fulfilled, and Israel being reinstituted, re-assimilated as a nation after 2,500 years of diaspora, that is being dispersed around the globe, being brought back to the nation of Israel as a nation. It is the first time in the history of the world the nation has come back after 2,500 years of being broken up and not as one. But then in A.D. 70, there was no temple, has been no temple since. And with Israel coming back to its own land, and by the way, the land belongs to Israel and not to the Arab Islamics, no temple to worship in, and the striving for, and they again, let me remind our listeners, they again are looking for the first coming of Yeshua Messiah. We're looking for his second coming. And I'm looking at an article that says, could the red heifers in Israel be a signal of the end times? And it goes on to say, so while the third temple doesn't currently exist, some feel that the red heifers in Israel may signal that it's on the way. If the temple were to be rebuilt, the red heifers in Israel provide the sacrifices required in fulfilling the end time prophecies as the Jewish rabbis see it. So they are on the cusp of looking and preparing for the coming of Yeshua Messiah. And I believe that we as believers realize that Jesus has already come, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross that we might have sins remitted. I believe that it's time Christians start being serious about looking forward to the rapture of the church. And by the way, Greg, Let me touch on this in the moments that we have left. In Hebrews chapter 10, and we don't have time to read it and exegete it, but Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, I'll read a few verses. You can comment on it. For the law, having the shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers therefore perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again and again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when you come into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And it goes on to talk about it. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that no longer do we as Christians, no longer do we believe that there's got to be the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, but Jesus Christ fulfilled the Mosaic law. In the fulfillment of the law, he shed his blood once for all. There's no need for the shedding of bulls and goats. But for the Jewish people, and not recognizing Yeshua has already come, they're doing the preparation for his second coming, not realizing that their preparation for his, for his first coming, not realizing their preparation, though, is really taking place for his second coming. How do you respond to that? What is the challenge that our listeners need to have today?
It's a beautiful thing, especially when you draw that picture and you realize that Jesus went to the cross and it was right on the Passover. That was at the time that Jesus went to the cross. And you look back at the Passover, the first time in Israel, that blood was shed as a for a Passover offering. And the blood, you know, signified to the death angel, pass over this household. Don't bring death to this household. And Jesus finally, as that last Passover sacrifice, went to the cross in the moments leading up to that Passover. Now, to have 364 other days that he could have gone to the cross, but it was right up on that Passover. Literally, they wanted him off the cross before the celebration began. Understand how timely and God was in control from end to end. By the way, folks, if you forget everything else I've said, remember this in the days and weeks to come. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And the discussions that I have with this senior theologian today and on other days, these things are not intended to scare you, but to prepare you. And that's why we bring up these texts, bring up these scriptures, so that in the future you can look back on this and remember the path, the plan, the way, and seek Jesus through the scriptures. By the way, I want you to close this. Tell us what that day will be like at the end of the tribulation, and Jesus Christ actually returns to earth and his foot touches, and walk us through that gate that now is sealed up, and the preparation that some have done to try to prevent the Messiah, and how all of that will be overcome in his return.
I touched on that a little earlier, but I'll open it a little more broadly. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the first thing on the calendar of God, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, where he calls us up and we meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 tells us. And then after the rapture of the church is the onset of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, that will rule and reign with an iron fist. After 7 years, Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, will return, according to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and following. When he returns, it'll be on the Mount of Olives, and on the Mount of Olives it will split, according to the scripture, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. When it splits, there'll be a great valley that he will enter through that valley, across the Kidron Valley, into the Eastern Gate. The Eastern Gate is sealed today, has been since the 600s, and it was done so by the Muslims, and it's sealed today with a Muslim cemetery. But Jesus Christ will enter in to the Eastern Gate. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, let me challenge you to be ready. And according to Luke 21:28, look up and recognize that our redemption draws near. And as we look up and lift up our eyes, may I say to you today, you need to say yes to Jesus Christ while there's time, while there's opportunity, while there's still the freedom to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.